Good afternoon, and welcome to our conference call, during which we will discuss our operational and financial highlights for the fourth quarter and full year 2019. With me today are Harold Goddijn, our CEO, and Taco Titulaer, our CFO. We will start today's call with Harold, who will discuss the key operational developments, followed by a more detailed look at the financial results from Taco. We will then take your questions. As usual, I would like to point out that safe harbor applies. With that, Harold, I would like to hand it over to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Bruno, and welcome to our conference call. We closed 2019 on a positive note with strong gross margin and cash generation. The full-year results were in line with our latest guidance, and we expect the location technology business to continue to grow in the coming years. 2019 was an important year for TomTom. We finalized telematics divestment, and we are now a more focused location technology business. Our advanced mapping platform technology helped us to claim a leading position in the emerging HD map market, and the enterprise business showed strong revenue growth. Taco will provide further information on the financial highlights and the financial outlook for 2020 later during this presentation, and I will discuss our key operational highlights and strategic priorities for the year. During our Capital Markets Day, we introduced automotive backlog as a new KPI to give you better visibility in our future automotive revenue development. The automotive backlog represents the sum of the total expected IFRS revenue resulting from all existing awarded deals. The automotive backlog increased since the end of Q2 2019 from around 1.6 billion to around 1.8 billion euro. Order intake and win rate were high. We converted most of the opportunities that were available to us, including the first HD map deals. We recently announced a series of new automotive deals. Fiat Chrysler chose TomTom as its global supplier for maps, navigation, traffic, and other services for the new Uconnect 5 infotainment system. The brands Abarth, Alfa Romeo, Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, Jeep, Lancia, and Ram Trucks will all benefit from our products. Our ADAS map was integrated to Daimler Truck's predictive power control system, and that allows for certain driving functions in the truck to be automated on highways and inter-urban roads. By automatically adapting speed and predicting gear shifting based on the road ahead, the technology delivers a safe and more comfortable ride, but most importantly, it leads to significant fuel savings of up to 5% per vehicle, as well as lower CO2 emissions. The new deal with Subaru was announced. That's for the 2020 Subaru Outback and the legacy U.S. vehicle models. Subaru selected our global map as well as a navigation software, and a new user interface was developed for the next-generation infotainment platform. In the next slide, I want to give you a short overview of our strategic priorities for 2020 and beyond. We're all excited about the progress we've made so far and the opportunities that are ahead of us. To keep that positive momentum, we'll continue to invest in strategic areas whilst maintaining a positive free cash flow philosophy. We'll continue to advance our map-making capabilities. Investments in software, machine learning, and artificial intelligence will lead to a higher degree of automation, and that will result in faster cycle times, lower operational cost per modification, and generally a more competitive mapping platform. Spending less money in maintaining and building the map allows us to spend more on innovation and differentiating technologies and applications, and that's a very critical component to our future success. In the automotive business, we are transitioning our vehicle integrated navigation system to an online service. This will allow us to deliver much improved user experience. We will further strengthen our maps APIs. They are successful. We have early traction, especially in the enterprise space. All in all, we're in a strong position. We're in a stronger position than last year. We have a clear product roadmap, fantastic team, and a strong balance sheet. On top of that, we're generating cash, so we are ready to capture the opportunities that will open up over the years to come, both in the midterm and certainly in the longer term. This concludes my part of the presentation. I'm handing over to Taco for a more detailed overview of the financials.
Thank you, Harold. Let me make a couple of comments on the financials and the outlook for the year, and then we can go to the Q&A. In the fourth quarter of 2019, we reported group revenue of 156 million euro, which is 10% lower compared with last year. Main reason for the lower group revenue is the anticipated decline in consumer. Location technology represents roughly 70% of our group revenue and increased 4% year-on-year to 110 million euro. Let me go through the details one by one. Automotive IFRS revenue was down by 6% to 69 million euro in the quarter, while operational revenue for automotive increased by 20% to 160 million euro. Enterprise revenue was up by 24% to 41 million euro in the quarter. Consumer revenue was down by 32% to 46 million euro in the quarter, reflecting a decrease in both consumer product as well as automotive hardware revenue. Gross margin was strong at 79% during the quarter, increasing by 12 percentage points year on year. This improvement is mainly the result of a larger proportion of high margin software and content revenue versus hardware in our revenue mix. Total operating expenses in the quarter was 202 million euro, an increase of 72 million euro compared with the same quarter last year. As explained in the previous quarters, the change in the estimated remaining useful life of our map database increased amortization expenses. Also, R&D expenses increased due to lower capitalization of tools and content. Higher personnel costs incurred to support our growing location technology business, and a 7 million euro one-time restructuring expense due to a higher degree of automation in our map-making system. Moreover, our SG&A shows a year-on-year increase, mainly due to a one-time gain of 13 million euro resulting from a litigation settlement during the fourth quarter of 2018. The free cash flow from continuing operations was an inflow of 48 million in the quarter, which is 80 million euro below last year. The lower cash generated from operations is mainly the result of higher personnel expenses and a one-off cash in related to the litigation settlement in the fourth quarter of 2018. Our deferred revenue position is now 369 million euro compared with 281 million euro at the end of 2018. Automotive and consumer maintained their trends, which means automotive was up with 106 million to now 278 million, and consumer is down with 24 million to now 68 million. At the end of 2019, we reported a net cash position of 437 million euro. We will execute share buyback of up to 50 million euro, which represents 4% of our total issued share capital. The share buyback program covers our long-term incentive plan. Our expectations are that the share buyback will be completed before year end. Now let me comment on the guidance on the next slide. We delivered on our guidance for 2019. Group revenue for the full year totaled 701 million euro, 4% above the initial guidance of 675 million euro. Our consumer business outperformed our initial expectations as a result of replacement sales due to the GPS week number rollover issue. Gross margin over the year came in strong at 74%. The adjusted net result for the full year from continuing operations of 34 million euro, which translates to an adjusted earnings per share of 20 euro cents. Free cash flow as a percentage of revenue was 9%, close to our initial outlook. Let's now move on to the outlook for 2020 in more detail. We expect location technology's revenue to be between 450 and 475 million euro in 2020. We reiterate our midterm revenue guidance for the segment to grow its revenue to around 500 million euro by 2021, which represents a CAGR of around 10% for the period between 2018 and 2021. Our expectations are supported by a growing automotive backlog of around 1.8 billion euro and the growth of our enterprise business. We'll continue to invest to improve our competitive position and capture market opportunities. Free cash flow for the year is expected to be mid to high single-digit percentage of group revenue, with a double-digit FCF as a percentage of group revenue as a midterm target. The automotive backlog on the next slide. During our Capital Markets Day, we introduced automotive backlog as a new KPI with the aim of giving better visibility of our future automotive revenue. Our automotive backlog increased since the end of H1 2019 from around 1.6 billion euro to around 1.8 billion euro. The automotive backlog represents the sum of the total expected IFRS revenue resulting from all existing awarded automotive deals. Changes in the backlog are the result of revenue recognition during the period. In this case, the reported revenue in H2, bringing it down with 125 million euro, offset by an increase as a result of the combination of an estimate of the cumulative value of newly awarded contracts and a reassessment of the previously awarded contract, which amounts to 325 million. The phasing of 1.8 billion backlog into revenue is shown on this slide, where you can see that two-thirds will be reported from 2022 onwards. We'll give an update on the automotive backlog on an annual basis during our full year results. Looking at the profile of our balance sheets on slide nine. As previously explained, the nature of our technologies and product is changing. The quality of our products materially increase over the years, and the value of our map database is more determined by its refreshed status. We will capitalize a lot less, and what we capitalize will be for a shorter duration on our balance sheet. We will therefore amortize faster as well. In 2019, we had a total D&A of 292 million euro, and this level of amortization will continue in 2020. We expect our intangible assets to be below 200 million euro by the end of 2020, as shown on this slide. As of 2021, the annual amortization will be much lower and will continue to decline in the years after. I would now like to comment on our expected 2020 cash spend and particularly our R&D spend on the next slide. Our total cash spend in 2019 increased compared with 2018 with 14%. For 2020, we expect a more limited increase in our total cash spend. As mentioned by Harold earlier, we will continue to invest in R&D, especially in our map-making platform, to achieve a higher degree of automation to provide better maps at lower costs. We will also continue to invest in our online architecture to deliver a great user experience for connected cars and to improve our map APIs. Operator, this concludes my remarks. We would now like to start with the Q&A session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the hash key or the pound sign. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch tone phone. And your first question comes from the line of Francois Vivini from UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. The first question I had is on your orders. Harold, you talk about the orders intake has been solid in 2019. I just wanted to have your view on what is driving that. Is it a market and that is growing fast, or is it because of your market share? Any specific around that? And how do you see the order intake for 2020, although you don't disclose the order bookings anymore, just to have a qualitative comment around it? That would be my first question.
Yeah, well, thank you. So I think the generally speaking, we have significantly invested in the last years in everything that has to do with navigation on board. We have a couple of class leading products here, including traffic, and our navigation software is now a clear market leader. There's not that many players who can keep up the investment levels that are required for in-car navigation, including the move to online. We've been doing that consistently. I think our customers are happy with the products they take from us. So we are happy that we haven't lost any customers. We get repeat orders. And generally speaking, we're winning market share. It's a combination of all that that helps us to get stronger in that market. And I expect those trends to continue, especially now with online navigation that is not easy to master. You need to understand that contrary to what you see on a mobile phone, in a car, the navigation system needs to work online, but there also needs to be an offline fallback position if you're a car parking garage or even if connectivity is not available at all. That means you need to be able to deliver a hybrid experience that gives the optimum user experience in an online situation. And a, let's say, somewhat degraded but still acceptable performance when there's no connectivity. That's not easy. I think we're leading the pack. I think our customers are seeing that. They're generally happy with the product roadmap. And I think on the strength of that product roadmap, I believe that in vehicle infotainment, we can continue to win market share.
And, yeah. For the 2020 order intake as a whole for the market, do you see that as a better year than 2019-18, or how do you see the addressable market to some extent?
Yeah, it's hard to predict what the available market is. I don't want to say anything about the size of the available market in 2020. I think that wouldn't be right. We don't know enough about it at this stage to give you an accurate forecast. What we do see, however, is a slight change in attitudes with automotive customers, and they're more looking for more strategic and longer-term partnerships rather than the best price on the latest set of RFQs and RFIs. And I think that's driven by the insight and the requirement to work more collaboratively and more efficiently to provide a much better user experience than what we've been able to do in the past. When things were changing rapidly. So I think there's some positive trends there that will help us to establish those longer-term partnerships and solidify them in 2020.
What do you mean? I mean, is it like the contracts are longer or concretely, what does it mean, this change?
Well, so I think traditionally what we have seen is that contracts you win in the automotive industry are very much RFQ, request for quotation driven, and mostly driven by where purchasing department has the latest and the last say in which software developer is selected to power the next generation. That model has some problems. Most importantly is that you need, you know, a car maker needs to start all over again with a complete new software stack, new integration, new level of risk, and a level of capital destruction goes with that. I think the trend now seems to start heading for more longer-term partnerships where you work in a more collaborative fashion to deliver the location component in an IVI system on a longer-term scale, more as a partner than as a vendor. And I think that is, we've been waiting for that change. I think that change is overdue, but we now see the first signs that that is actually happening.
Okay, that's interesting. And on HD maps, I mean, you talked briefly about the first deals of HD maps. Should we expect, what is it like the truck or is it like for cars now? Because
the first one was indeed for trucks, and we made a reference to that deal in our comments earlier. It's very much an HD map product, but used in a slightly different way. We now have one deals for passenger cars as well in 2019. It was an important one to get confirmation that what we think is the right product is actually meeting market expectations.
Okay, and can you have a sense of the pricing versus a traditional map? I'm not asking the price, but just the magnitude of the average selling price, for example?
Well, but I think what we see for the first time is that car makers want a subscription model with us. So you get the first contracts we've signed are a certain amount of money per year subscription for a fairly long period of time. So you get a more recurring revenue stream out of HD maps. That's what we're seeing so far. There's a word of caution, of course, and that is that the full automated driving is taking longer. But what we do see is more and more higher levels of automation in the vehicles that start to benefit from HD maps. And I think the most important, significant development we're seeing is kind of what we've got cruise control on steroids. Where the car not only keeps its speed, but it keeps its speed dependent on the maximum speed, traffic conditions. Car can overtake, can prepare for leaving the motorway, and so on and so forth. And for those level 2.5 applications, HD maps are now requested by a number of car makers.
And last one for me is HD maps. Do you expect the contracts to be meaningful in 2020 for you in terms of size of your bookings?
For 2020, the invoice revenue will not be meaningful. Bookings hopefully will continue in 2020. Revenue will follow in later years.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much for your answers.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Mark Hesselink from ING. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Thank you. My first question would be on the FCA contract that you announced earlier this month or last month. Could you talk a bit more about, so what is the scope increase versus the initial FCA contract that you had? I'm talking about, it's not only a larger number of cars, but it's also clearly that you increase the software part that you put into and the functionality that you put into. And related to that, is that extra functionality that you're adding, is that something that, is it more or less a blueprint for other contracts, for other clients going to the future?
Well, so we had traditionally strong relationships on the Italian side. Fiat has been a customer for us for a very long time, but we've never really managed to increase our footprint in Detroit. That has changed dramatically with this contract that we signed some time ago. So for us, it's a major breakthrough in the North American market. with one of the big three. It was a crucial deal for us to win. We did win it. Not only did we get the mandate, but we've also been asked by FCA to have a bigger impact, a better input and responsibility for the end user experience. So what you see here, what we pioneered with Fiat Chrysler, is that the large part of the responsibility for user experience and user interaction was with TomTom. So we've not only engineered the whole thing, but we did extensive market research and testing and to make sure that the offered solution is fit for purpose in the North American context as part of a wider IVI software system, that everything is well integrated. And I'm very, very pleased the way that worked, both in terms of product, but mostly in terms of collaboration. It was a very collaborative effort, very efficient software development, and I've seen a lot of smiling executives all around. So I think that's a good blueprint for us to you know, have a more meaningful role and more responsibility for what the end product looks like. We're very excited. We're going to launch, and I think in 4 or 5 months from now, the first vehicles will go into the market. We have high expectations, and for us, this was a critical deal to establish our footprint in the North American market.
Okay, and the blueprint part for other clients, and not looking at the numbers, but the license fee that you get per car, is that significantly higher than you used to get for the old FCA contract?
Well, it's a different contract. I'm not in a position to discuss commercials, but it's a full stack product, including map updates, including services, traffic information, EV routing, EV charging points and availability. It's a complete software stack that we deliver and maintain with a you know, significant proportion of online services that come with that package. So both in terms of volume, strategic positioning, quality of the product, this is a very critical deal for us.
Okay, clear. And the second question would be on the automotive revenues you got at the big capital markets. They will be more or less flattish year over year in 2020, because partly because this contract is only coming online in the second half of the year. But still, I would like to get a little bit of feel what's that happening on the operational revenues, because if I'm correct, then the deferred part is expected to be a bit lower this year than last year. So that would imply that operational revenues for automotive would be down year over year, which I can't really square with, I mean, at least some FCA contract coming online, with the comment on the higher take rate, which pushed up the backlog. Could you explain me the moving parts there, please?
So let me first answer your question on the sorry, Mark, I'm just taking my numbers in front of me. The deferred revenue of automotive increased in 2019 with 115. If you and the expectation for next year is that it will increase again with 105. So the part that is deferred goes up with 105. That's indeed a bit lower than what we've seen in 2019. The IFRS revenue, the implicit guidance that we've given is that enterprise would go up with 5% roughly this year, and automotive with 10%. Does that answer your questions?
Yeah, partly. I mean, it shows that where you will be at the end of the year, but still, it seems rather low growth from the auto operational revenue perspective, given the 2 points made before, the FCA contract coming online and also the higher take rates.
FCA, so FCA will, the start of production will be in the second half of 2020. What you normally see is that will start with one car line, etc. So the full revenue effect will not really materialize in 2020.
Okay, clear. And then on the cost side, the cash cost side, you already explained it will be up, but not as much as before. Is there a bit more magnitude that you can give to that number?
Yes, we can. So the OPEX, the total OPEX, including D&A and excluding CapEx, was 746 in 2019. We expect that would grow to roughly 780, with a fairly flat D&A number and a further decline in our CapEx number of yeah. But the CapEx is expected to decline with another 10 million.
Okay, clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Wim Gille from ABN AMRO Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. First of all, on the backlog, you showed quite a healthy increase in the second half of about 200 million. I understand that it's a bit of a split between new order wins that we will likely hear about 2 years from now, and a bit of a contract kind of reassessments, if you will. Can you give us a bit of feeling what type of contracts you have won in this particular number? So are we talking about HD maps or ADAS or SD? Is it more related to services, etc.? My second question would be on IVI. During the Capital Markets Day, you already mentioned that you are planning to play a bigger role. I think we've seen the first signs of an increased presence of you guys in IVI software, if you will, with the Subaru contract and also to a lesser extent, but also included in the FCA contract. So can you give us a bit of a feeling what are the critical roadblocks that you or milestones that you need to accomplish to kind of get your product lineup in this particular space up to speed? Can you share with us what the customer feedback has been so far in terms of the discussions that you had with clients? Those were my two first questions.
Yeah, on the new order, yeah, I would say everything you mentioned, but with the exception from HD mapping deals, we closed some of those, but that was in the H1. There was nothing that we lost, by the way, but there was nothing to win in H2. But the nature of the order intake was a combination of mapping and ADAS, traditional mapping, ADAS, and services.
And with existing clients or also new clients?
Existing clients, yeah.
Fair. And then with respect to the role that you intend to play in kind of having a more holistic approach about IVI software?
Yeah, Wim, yeah. So I'm sure you follow the industry where car executives are starting to make comments about the complexity of the software landscape. And we've seen some dramatic problems in 2019 with major car lines and major product introductions being delayed because of software issues.
that are kind of demonstrate the complexity of what the industry is trying to achieve here. That is seen as a problem increasingly also by the car executives, and they're looking for a more effective way of bringing software into the dashboard, and we think we can play a role there. That's one of the drives for us to come up with the IVI concept, which is on one hand a simplification in the underlying technology, and on the other hand provides a much better integration and user interface, not only for traditional navigation, but also some integrated safety features like dead spot, dead corner, overtaking, other ADAS functionality like adaptive speed control and what have you. So there's a clear need to achieve a level of simplification, but also sophistication, in order to bring software in the dashboard. What we are doing, we're playing our role here. In we've developed a couple of lighthouse products, IVI one of them. We are marketing that actively with our customers. We're doing workshops. We're trying to understand the level of appetite and influence our key customers want to have on the development of the roadmap. I think the feedback we've collected so far is positive, both at CES as what we see in one-on-ones, and it's a a clear view from TomTom on what the future of IVI can look like, and we are very excited to develop that thinking and the product further in 2020, together with some of our leading customers.
And in terms of software development from a technological perspective, are you guys already where you need to be, or are there more meaningful investments to be made to make this product lineup or basically live up to the expectations of the car executives?
Well, there is a minimum viable product. But you need to continue to invest in this stuff continuously. There is it's quite relentless. But we would be ready for commercial introduction in 2022, and it's 2021. That's the timeline we have in mind. That is within the realm of possibilities. But it's it's not just that we, a lot of what we're doing and we have been doing over the last couple of years will contribute to that design vision, and I think we're making good progress. There's a lot of excitement and a lot of enthusiasm to keep going in this direction.
Very good. And some of the order intake that that you already reported to date, does it include the IVI stuff that we just discussed, or is this still more in a, let's say, marketing phase, if you will, and not yet embedded in order intake?
No, it's not in the order intake. This is clearly a pre-RFI, pre-RFQ work that we are now committing to together with some of our key customers.
Very good. Then I have a question on the share buyback. You mentioned that you're going to do a 50 million share buyback, but you're not going to cancel any shares, so it's to offset the dilution from share-based payments. If I look back at my cash flow statements to 2012, you have a cumulative share based compensation of about 30 million. So I do understand that you have an ongoing dilution of about 1 million shares based on share performance plans, but the gap still seems a bit big for me. So can you maybe explain to me a little bit better what the gap is that we are looking at? Or are you already kind of front-loading, if you will, on treasury shares in order to be able to kind of offset the dilution that you expect for future years?
You're correct. Is that the run rate for at least this year and what we've seen in the last couple of years is roughly 1 million shares. So the backlog where we are today is 5.4, and we have less than 1 million treasury shares left from our previous share buyback. So by the end of Q2, these numbers. So if you look at the current treasury shares, less than 1 million, the backlog over 5 million, adding another 1 million this year. If you multiply the 5 million times the share price roughly of today of 10 euros, then you end up at the 50 million.
Fair. And the backlog of 5.5 million, sorry, the different approach to the thing. How long is your typical vesting period? In other words, how do you get to three years? So how do we get to a backlog of 5.5 million if the run rate is 1 million shares a year?
Yeah, there are some. There's a combination of RSUs and options. So you can have options that can be exercised after three years, but they have a longer tenor of 7 years. So they are exercisable, but they are not being exercised.
Yeah, that's fairly, that's good. Last question from my end. You mentioned, Harold, in the prepared remarks that you had an excellent win rate. Can you, let's say, quantify that, or can you give us a bit more feeling on market share developments based on your internal calculations in 2019?
No, I don't have those numbers. Also because, of course, the German kind of what's happening there is not very transparent to us. What we do know is that, especially on the software side, our market share, we now are the largest vendor of navigation software for embedded systems in the auto industry. And we can also see that a lot of companies who used to have an offering in that space are no longer offering that. So there is a level of consolidation taking place, and we're the prime beneficiary of that. What we do know is our market share in traffic is high, 85% market share in Europe, and about 40% market share in North America for embedded systems. So that's good. And the investment in creating modular software components that can be used to cost-efficiently build a good product are really starting to pay off with significant market share win, but also consolidation is taking place. I said it earlier, it's kind of good to see that it's really happening. And that is, I think it's a positive trend for us.
Very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the hash key or the pound sign. There are no further questions. Please continue.
Since there are no further questions, I would like to thank you all for joining us this afternoon. Operator, you can close the call.